I was born and raised cradle Catholic with a deacon for a father. He's sitting over there watching my children. Like many people of my generation, I went through the motions and received First Holy Communion, confession, and finally confirmation around age 19. And then I promptly left the church. I got married in the church. I went to Mass on occasion, usually when there was a family event. But I personally had no relationship with God, no relationship with Jesus Christ, no relationship with the Holy Spirit, no relationship with Our Lady. And I realized in January of 2007, at a walk to Emmaus, that I had based my relationships on the spirituality of my parents. My entire belief system was guided through their spiritual life. And so I realized I was simply meandering through a quagmire of agnostic deism, ancient Greek philosophy with a little bit of basic Christian theology from it. So now, after that conversion, I work intentionally to know more about our faith. And typically, I learn something new about our heritage, our tradition, or teachings every few days. And one of those learning lessons came when I was on vacation a couple weeks ago down in South Texas, when my brother and sister-in-law introduced me to the Catholic teachings on angels and demons. I know I had picked up some things being born and raised Catholic, probably the things everyone picked up. Guardian angels, the general principle of hell being a place away from God, and a general concept of demons. Or maybe it was somewhat based on Catholic upbringing and more based on movies like Exorcist. So as I got older, that whole concept of hell and demons and everything started to get lost on me. I think it was partly my fear of being viewed as superstitious from the outside world or even from my friends. So part of it was discounting the stories we hear from the Bible, especially ones like today, where Jesus specifically speaks about unclean spirits, about demons, giving his apostles authority over unclean spirits, and as a result, quote, they drove out many demons. I think I must have just assumed that these ancient peoples thought that mental illness or some other sicknesses or ailments or disabilities or whatever they didn't understand was caused by a demon. After all, the apostles cured the sick by anointing them with oil, and so I thought those two things, demons and being sick, must have been inextricably linked. Now I look back and I cannot believe my level of hubris and arrogance. Even as a converted Catholic Christian, I was still reluctant to place my faith in the stories of the ancients, the fathers of our faith. I was still unwilling to identify evil things, still unwilling to identify demonic activity, and anything other than face value, maybe a nod and a smirk towards those uneducated and superstitious apostles 2,000 years ago. I mean, they're fishermen. Because of pride, I was too ashamed to admit that I was scared of being labeled as superstitious zealot. Too churchy, too spiritual, too into all that church stuff. Not anymore. Why have we bought into this bill of goods pushed on us by secular society, telling us we're superstitious to believe that demons are real and hate us? My kids like to use that word, hate. I said, do you really mean hate? Think about hate and what that means. It turns your stomach to see that piece of cheese. You hate that cheese? Demons are real and hate us. Hate everything about us. Hate us for consuming the most holy body and blood of Jesus Christ. Hate us because we're made in God's image. Hate us because we exist. Why have we hidden countless stories from countless apostles, saints, holy men and women about demonic activity? Instead, we have a morbid obsession with exorcists and exorcism, not because they use some cool ancient Latin language and the names of demons to drive demons out of people, but because they make for good entertainment. So we we've ended up giving up something extremely serious and pressing, the salvation of our souls, to horror movies. And as a result, we refuse to or fail to identify the demons in our lives. We fail to call out demons by name, the obsessor of pornography, the obsessor of lust, the obsessor of theft, the obsessor of gossip, the obsessor of tearing down others, the obsessor of tearing down ourselves, the obsessor of pride, the obsessor of gluttony, the obsessor of pleasure and hedonism. We hear over and over that Satan is the prince of this physical world, and his demons are his henchmen. They hate us. They hate us even more when we're trying to do right. So we're trying to develop devotion to the most holy body and blood of Christ. And we're trying to develop a devotion to the Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Heart. That's a problem. We hear that the first step in fixing the problem is admitting the problem and identifying the problem. I've only started scratching the surface of my personal demons, assigned to me by Satan just as God assigns me a guardian angel. As I look back on my life, I realize that there were plenty of times I listened to the little red devil on one shoulder and ignored the guardian angel on the other. That's our task this morning. To get over being accused, to get over that fear of being accused of being superstitious, start identifying those demons in our lives. Our personal demons, those demons that have persisted in destroying relationships here in this very church, in these very pews. Demons that have destroyed relationships with our family members. Demons that have destroyed relationships with fellow parishioners. Demons that have destroyed relationships with others in this community. The demons that hover over Satan, rejoicing as people obstinately refuse to come to church because somebody did something that made me mad. They did it that one time, so I'm never going back. The demons that keep Slate from achieving its God-given right to something better, to being a shining light in the darkness, to being a rehab home for sinners. So much good has come from this Catholic community here. Our Lady of Guadalupe, St. Joseph's Church, St. Joseph's School, Mercy Retreat Center. And we have underestimated how much we are hated by the forces of evil. We've given in to those forces and failed to unite together in prayer, in adoration, in devotion, in humility, in forgiveness. That failure must end. There's to be a future. So we've got a choice. We can cast out the demons in our lives, individual, familial, generational, territorial, or we can continue in chaos and uncertainty, bemoaning what's come of our parish, asking ourselves over and over while we're losing friends and family members to other churches, to other faiths even. So the choice is really up to us, each of us, as individuals. But we commit ourselves to identifying our personal demons and casting them out over and over and over and over and over, aided by the grace imparted on us in the sacrament of confession. Will we forgive those who have wronged us, beat us down over and over? Will we join with one another in the adoration of the most holy body and blood? Will we build each other up, encourage each other to go to confession, and be in a state of grace when receiving the most holy communion? Instead of perpetuating mortal sins through blasphemy and desecration of the Eucharist. Will we join together as a united body and say no more to the forces of evil, to the demons that we are warned about in today's gospel? Straight out of the mouth of Jesus himself. The solution to all this is right behind me. Tabernacle right there, in a few moments right here on this altar, represented by the icons of Our Lady and her Immaculate Heart. All we have to do is choose to cast out those demons that are infiltrating our lives. Look towards remedy. That remedy is given to us in Psalm 24. The power and the glory of the Lord our God. Now, Jesus has already won, folks. We just have to make sure we're on his side.